All right, welcome everyone to the Roman Show. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, on this beautiful April 25th. We're going to get this show started. Joining me here for the last time, man, my co-host of the program, Guillermo, the MMA Encyclopedia. And, yeah, I just thought it was a little cheesy, but I have to say that, Guillermo.
I really like that one.
Yeah, that's right. Guillermo's leaving us to Australia. He's going to the land down under. He'll be checking us out all the way from thousands and thousands of miles away, man. You're off, what, next week?
Yeah, next week I'll actually probably be able to do the show from Hawaii.
Nice. Well, you won't be in Miami anymore, so well wishes out there. This is your last show here in the Roman Show. It's been a pleasure, man. You know, we started this thing almost a year ago, and we're going strong. We've interviewed several people and gotten a lot of credibility and a lot of respect from the guys in the mixed martial arts world. So, you know, best wishes, and I know that we'll do a good job all the way from Australia. And in Miami, man, we'll be Skyping.
Thank you, man. I've really enjoyed doing the show. Got to meet a lot of great fighters and a lot of great people in the industry. And, you know, hopefully I'll get to meet some more over in Australia. And be able to. I'll try to call in as much as I can during my time over there. It's just going to be difficult with the time difference.
Yes, sir, it is. All right. Let's start the show.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show. The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Hey, this is Jacob Sisteran here. And if you guys really want to listen to the good talk, listen to the Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from. MMAtothemax.net. From where to see the big fight to where is the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMAtothemax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You are listening to The Roman Show. AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code RomanShow and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
Show. We talk mixed martial arts We have a lot of stuff happening this evening. Joining me again, my co-host for the very last show here, Guillermo of the MMA Encyclopedia. First, we're going to be joined by Frank Morejon, the vice president of Fight Time Promotions and also the president of MMAtothemax.net, your number one source when it comes to Florida mixed martial arts events and news. He'll be calling in shortly, as he will tell us about a show happening this weekend here in South Florida, and of course, tell us a little bit about the MMAtothemax.net. Also, Seth Petruzzelli, UFC veteran, will be here on the program. We'll be talking about what has he been up to. You know, it's been some time since we all saw him in action. Last time he fought actually was in Bellator. He was victorious there, and he'll be calling into the program, and we'll be having a little conversation. Also, Socrates Pierre, a Haitian fighter, has a fight this weekend. We'll be on the program. We'll have him here. He'll tell us a little bit about himself, how he got started, and what we can expect in Ocala, Florida at the RFC 26. He has a record of 2-1, and he is stepping inside the cage against Aaron Stedman. So, Guillermo, let's go ahead and welcome in our first guest, none other than our very own Mr. Frank Morejon. How are you, Frank?
Hey, Rodolfo. Thanks for having me on, man. How you doing?
Good, Frank. It's a pleasure to have you. Mr. MMAtothemax.net, the president of the company and also vice president of Fight Time Promotions. Frank, first and foremost, let's talk about what's going to happen this weekend in Fort Lauderdale.
Awesome, awesome. Fight Time 9, April 27th, Fort Lauderdale War Memorial. Amazing show, man. Amazing show. We got 10-time UFC veteran Wilson Gouveia. We've got Level Martinez on the card as well. Luis Nazario. I mean, the list is really amazing. And I think it shows, man, because we're sold out, man. All tickets are sold out.
Wow, congratulations on that. Now, one thing about Rene Level Martinez, it's been some time since we last saw him fighting in action, and it was actually a draw, his last fight, and I believe it was in Broward County. Now, what made him decide to come back and fight for Fight Time?
Well, you know, good question. And, you know, he's, you know, he opened up in a school up in Kendall, so he's got his school now that he has to focus on and everything else from the last fight that he had at another organization, but, you know, he really took a look at what he was doing and with his MMA career, where he wanted to go with it, and with the school opening and everything else, and basically, you know, he reached out to Fight Time, and Fight Time, Howard Davis Jr.'s Fight Time promotion, answered the call and said, hey, you know, if you want to fight, get back into the cage, you know, who are we to stop you, you know, and he just wants to come back, man. And he believes he signed a four-fight deal with Fight Time. And looking forward to his fight. Anybody who knows him, you know, you know, he started on YouTube. He started with the backyard stuff, you know, got, you know, major hits off YouTube, became this YouTube sensation. And then he decided to go pro a couple of years ago and did very well. You know, he's done very well throughout his career. A lot of people think that, you know, he hasn't been tested yet or he's picking his fights or whatever the case may be. And I would tell those guys that you really have to look at levels, you know, growth. You know, I think if you really got to know him and got to know what he feels about MMA as a fighter now, then I think you'll see and understand the level before and the level now where he takes MMA, you know, seriously. April 27th, he's really going to show you guys, you know, that he is back, that he'll step into the cage, take care of business, and got more fights for Fight Time.
Great. And then another one, obviously the main event, Mr. Wilson Gouveia, a UFC veteran. He took some time off. He fought recently up in Canada, up at the MFC it was. He was victorious out there. But you got him on the card. He's a big name making a comeback into the world of mixed martial arts. Tell us about that.
Ah, man, Wilson Gouveia is a tremendous martial artist. You know, UFC, 10-time UFC veteran. You know, he's been in the big shows, and we're happy to have him fight for Fight Time. He brings a lot to the table. He is just so dedicated to putting on a good show for Fight Time, and the guy has trimmed down, gotten more power in his arms. I mean, if you guys know anything about Wilson Gouveia, you know, he's fought some major big boys out there in the UFC and knocked some people out. He's been on the UFC DVD, The Greatest Knockout Hits, you know, and you can actually select him at the UFC Undisputed video game. You can select him as one of the fighters. you know, for the game. So, you know, he has his mark in the UFC as well as in MMA. And, again, we're happy to have him on board. I mean, he's not going to fight somebody who, you know, it's not going to be an easy fight, you know. These two guys are well matched together, and, you know, may the best man win. But we're happy to have him on board, and to pick Fight Time Promotions as one of his, you know, stepping grounds. Hopefully we can sign him for a couple more fights. He's got this thing in Canada where he has to defend his title. But so he'll be going back and forth with that. But we let him know that Fight Time is his home.
That is just great. And Wilson Gouveia will be main eventing this Friday. The tickets are sold out. Are there any couple of tickets there that people could find? Maybe at the
Oh, man, you know, I've been trying to get some myself. You know, Ticketmaster has definitely sold everything out. There's nothing left. The only hope that we have is hopefully at the day of the weigh-ins that maybe we can come up with some tickets there with some maybe a fighter or two. But so maybe the day of the weigh-in, there may be some for sale, but I strongly doubt it. But, you know, there's always, you know, Fight Time 10, you know, June 22nd. We're already selling tickets out for that one. So I would say get your tickets early for the next show because, again, it will be a sellout. And, you know, and for that reason, you know, props goes out to Roger Krall, who's the matchmaker for Fight Time. He did a fantastic job putting this card together, getting the local guys as well as, you know, UFC veterans on the card, a real good mix in order to get the people in there that either know about MMA, that don't know about it, or just supporting their fighters or support their local fighters. It really is a good mix of fighters that cover all markets, if you will. And even our co-main event is going to be pretty awesome. We have Ricardo Rivera, Rocco Rush, you know, who's a military, you know, veteran and military soldier with fighting on Brad Randall, who's a police officer. So you have our local heroes, you know, facing off with each other for the co-main event.
Great. Well, Frank, thanks so much. Here again, so Wilson Gouveia will be fighting Kyle Keeney in the event.
Yes.
That's what we have here for this Friday. And, well, just for more information, visit the website there, fighttimepromotions.com. Frank, thanks so very much for joining us on the program. And also visit MMAtothemax.net to find out the
awesome,
latest information when it comes to Florida mixed martial arts. Mr. Frank Monahan, a voice of MMA in South Florida. Thank you, Frank.
Well, thank you so much for having me, guys. Take good care, man, and doing a great job.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you. All right, Guillermo, with that being said, in just a few minutes, we're going to have Seth Petroselli here on the program. A guy, you know what, one thing about Seth, they always remember him for knocking out Kimbo Slice. But there's more to this guy. You know, there's more to this guy than coming out with the funky hair. He's faced some tough competitors, and he has been victorious. He has been in the UFC, which I think is the number one thing about this guy, Guillermo.
Yeah, Seth Petroselli is a real unique character, especially when you look at his record. There's just some things that stand out. You know, everybody remembers the Kimbo fight. I mean, I think it's currently the second most watched MMA fight in United States history, you know, behind the Cain Jr. Dos Santos fight. But, I mean, like, that's what most people remember. But the guy, he's a knockout artist. I mean, 12 out of I think his 14 wins have come by TKO or knockout. Yet, on the other hand, 4 out of his 6 losses have come by submission. So, really, he's known for his stand-up. The other thing is he was on The Ultimate Fighter, so a lot of people remember him for that. And, unfortunately, he's done great on the regional scene, but in the UFC, he's 0-4. 4 shots, no wins in the UFC. So, who knows if he'll get another chance in the UFC. Hopefully he does, and hopefully he'll finally be able to get that first victory in the UFC.
Yeah, and he has some good fights here. He's, for example, he fought Ben Severn, the legend himself, Matt Hamill, Wilson Gouveia. He fought him, but he lost by submission at a UFC event. As we mentioned, he did knock out Kimbo Slice. And the name goes on and on. And just recently he won. He defeated by knockout, actually by hammer fist, at Bellator 48, Rico Rodriguez, who was also a UFC veteran. So the guy has a long list of fights. And yeah, and that's exactly what I asked. You know, what exactly goes through your mind when people just always mention, you know, the guy who knocked out Seth Petroselli? You know, I mean, the guy who knocked out Kimbo Slice. That's just one thing. And I remember one day, I was actually announcing a show, and he mentioned, you know what, don't even mention that. Because as a fighter, you must say, I'm so over it. You know, I have other credentials aside just from knocking out Kimbo Slice, which at the time wasn't the mixed martial artist that he won. He was just known for his knockout power. That's pretty much what Kimbo Slice was known as, because he came out of a YouTube sensation and then came out on CBS and everybody watched it, and from there it's on his history. And actually that night, he was supposed to fight Ken Shamrock, but Shamrock got a cut. That got him out of the fight, and then Seth.
Hello?
Hey, Seth.
Hello.
Seth, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes, sir. How are you, Seth? Seth Pertelli, UFC veteran here on The Roman Show with Guillermo Garcia and myself, Rodolfo Roman. Seth, thank you so very much for joining us here on the program tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Great, great. Now, Seth, I remember you working with you over there at Revolution Live in Fort Lauderdale. You were doing some commentating, last December or something like that. So what have you been up to? Came up a victory at Bellator against Rodriguez by knockout, but when are we going to see you in action again?
I've actually been training for my fight coming up May 11th for Bellator once again. These past 7 months or so, I've just been training hard. Recently purchased a house, so I've been doing a lot of fixing up and rehabbing in the house. So that's why I've become kind of an MIA for a little bit. But I've been training hard the entire time, and I'm looking forward to come back on May 11th. I'm fighting Carmelo Marrero on May 11th.
And now this is not part of a tournament or anything like that. It's just a single fight you got with Bellator?
Yeah, it's the same thing as the Rico. It's kind of like, you know, a little super fight thing going on. We're still in talks with the light heavyweight tournament with me. But for right now, it's just a single fight.
Great. And Seth, you also run the Jungle Gym.
The Jungle MMA and Fitness, correct, in Orlando.
Yeah, and you are an entrepreneur opening up this gym out there. And are you still doing the commentating in that area?
I am, yes. Any little bit I can. Anybody that wants a good commentary, they can get a hold of me, because I've been slowly transitioning from fighting into that. Definitely need to, you know, think of something else to do after I'm done fighting. So I enjoy commentating very much, and I think I'm kind of a natural at it, I guess you could say. So I love doing it, and I love talking about fights. So it seems like a good fit.
Now, Seth, I remember when I announced you one day, and you told me, hey, don't mention, you know, about the whole Kimbo Slice and all of that. How do you feel, Seth, when people just know you or mention you by this? Yeah, because you have a long list of fights here. You fought reputable, respectable fighters, and they still remember you because of the Kimbo Slice thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was just the most hyped and the most, the most watched one, I guess you could say. So, I mean, he just said there was so much hype behind him, and that's just what I'm going to be known for until something else crazy or extreme hype happens after that. I think even if I was champion of the world, people will still know me as the guy that beat Kimbo Slice still.
Now, Seth, when you were on given this opportunity to fight, because Kimbo was actually supposed to fight Ken Shamrock that night, but then he got hurt, he got a cut in his eye, and then you got called up. Did you ever think that there was going to be so many people watching this fight? Because at one time, it was the most watched MMA fight in television history until the Cain and Dos Santos fight came along.
No, I actually had no idea. You know, I wasn't didn't really know about the viewership of what it was going to pull with Ken Shamrock and Kimbo, so I was just mainly concerned with my fight, and I was on the undercard, so I wasn't even thinking about, you know, the television buys, getting sponsors and stuff like that. So, you know, I found out afterwards, you know, after I got thrown into it and all of it happened, how big it was and how many viewers it actually had. So it's pretty incredible.
Did you get phone calls from folks who were like, hey, we just saw your fight, you know, friends or people that went to high school with you, we just saw you at CBS?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, the Facebook blew up. Well, at that time, I had the MySpace going, so the MySpace blew up, the Facebook blew up, and then and just getting phone calls, people just seeing me in the street. So it was, for a good year, it was pretty insane.
Great, great. Now, Guillermo, you have a question for Seth?
Yeah, Seth, for a lot of your career, you've been bouncing between light heavyweight and heavyweight. Are you looking to just stay at light heavyweight from now on?
Well, actually, this fight, May 11th, is, the Rico fight was a catchweight at 230. And this fight actually coming up is another catchweight at 230. And for the Rico fight, I came in at about 222, and for this fight, I'm probably going to come in about the same. So, I mean, I'm a light heavyweight naturally. I walk around about 225, 230, you know, and I'll cut to 205. But it just happens that these last couple of fights, haven't really been able to find anybody at light heavyweight for me. So I've been taking the heavier guys, which is no problem. I mean, I have a pretty good record against bigger guys. So I have no problem going against bigger guys, but I would rather fight at 205.
Gotcha. And, you know, you were on the Ultimate Fighter. Talk to us about what these guys right now on the show are going through, and would you ever put yourself through anything like that again?
Oh, man, I get that question asked a lot. And back, like, as soon as it was done, for probably 6 months after, I always said that it was a great experience. I wouldn't change it for anything in the world, but I would never, ever do it again. But now that some time's passed and stuff like that, I made such great friends off it, and I made great connections, and, you know, memories, obviously, that'll last a lifetime. So I would 100% do it again. Like, if they had, like, a reunion cast or something crazy like that, I would definitely be up for doing something like that. It was a good experience. You know, right now, it's just with them, with what they're going through, just not having any contact with the outside world, not having, you know, no magazines, no TV, no radio, nothing. It's just, it can drive you crazy, man. I mean, it's not easy at all, and that was one of the reasons that a lot of us said we would never do it again.
Man, and now they're doing it for twice the amount of time, so you can just imagine how bad that is. Now talk to us. You've been extremely successful on the regional scene, but for one reason or another, you just haven't been able to get that first UFC win. I mean, is it the bright lights, or is it the level of competition? What is it that's kept you winless in the UFC?
I don't know, man. It's weird. Like you said, you know, I was undefeated outside of the UFC my entire career, you know, except for when I very first started in 2000, 2001. But since then, I've been undefeated outside the UFC. And I don't know, man. Just I wouldn't chalk it up to, like, the mental. I mean, a little bit of it is mental, but just luck, I think. I don't know, man. Just unfortunate when I fought for the UFC, just every single one, except for one of the fights on the season, I've lost, so. A little bit, maybe just mentally it wears on me, but I think mostly it's just the luck. I mean, look at the draw. Just, you know, can't win every single time, and it just happens that all my losses are in the UFC only.
Well, Seth, and also another thing about you, you're known for the wolf paint, you know, coloring the hair and coming out with these flashy suits. Tell us about that. I mean, is this just a gimmick? Is this you? How did that come about?
Well, I mean, I'm naturally kind of goofy and weird. I mean, all my friends kind of know me as a, you know, a weird guy, but all my friends are kind of weird too, actually. But no, I mean, the hair thing is just a gimmick. It's just all for show, and, you know, all the stuff that you Google about me is kind of just all for shock value. Nothing serious, but, you know, I don't take myself too seriously at all in anything that I do. So I really think that, you know, if you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at? I mean, it's all for fun.
Now, how much of entertainment does belong in MMA? You know, I think Diamond Dallas Page with Stefan Bonner were asked this the other day in his MMA, but I'd like to hear from you because you're known about, you know, with the colored hair and the suits and all that. Does MMA, does it have to be all about the respect, or does it need a little of entertainment every now and then?
Yeah, it definitely does, man. I mean, you do your respect, you do the serious part, the business part in the ring. I mean, if you're goofing off and acting stupid in the ring, that's another thing. I mean, that's just, there's no, you know, There's no need for that. I mean, you're going to get your ass whooped if you do that. So, I mean, you do your talking in the ring. You don't need to act all tough. And at least I think so. I don't think you need to act all tough and macho outside the ring. That's what you got your fists and your feet for. That's what you do. That's what you do in the ring. I think outside the ring, I mean, you could act, you know, however your personality is. If you're a tough guy outside the ring, you can act tough. If you're a goofball, act like a goofball. Just you know, just be yourself, man. And as long as you enjoy what you're doing, then that's all you can do.
Awesome. Well, Seth, don't want to take too much time off your hands. Anything you want to go ahead and plug it, man?
No. Well, first of all, I really appreciate you guys having me on, and everyone tune in for my fight May 11th on Bellator. It'll be in Atlantic City at Caesars Palace against Carmelo Marrero. If anyone wants to follow me, they can follow me at Silverback Seth on Twitter. And then that's about it, man. And my jungleorlando.com. If anyone's in the Central Florida area, feel free to come on by and train with us. We got a lot of good guys at my gym.
Awesome, Seth. Thanks so very much, man, and we'll be in contact, sir.
Sweet. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you, Seth.
All right. You too. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Well, great stuff there from Seth Petruzzelli, Guillermo. We learned a lot about him, how he got started, and his opinion as far as entertainment in mixed martial arts, which is one thing that some people say, oh, it's absurd. They shouldn't have this stuff, and they shouldn't do this. You know, remember when Brock Lesnar went crazy and started talking about that he wasn't going to drink, what was it, Bud Light or Budweiser?
He said he wasn't going to drink Bud Light because they didn't pay him anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but at the end of the day, we really, you know, we love fighting, but this is a little entertainment, a little trash talking. Look at Floyd Mayweather in boxing. People love the whole talking and this and that. But, of course, respect is important. Respect is great. But man, I've always been a fan of entertainment. That's just personal.
Talking sells pay-per-views, you know, and that's how a lot of these fighters make a lot of money, especially the higher-end ones. Look at the Rashad John Jones fight. What imagine if they were just good buddies fighting each other. That wouldn't sell very well, you know. But the hatred and the trash talk, that's what sells.
You have to do it. You know, you have to have a little trash talk in there just to hype up the night.
Look at Josh Barnett. I love that guy. Josh Barnett's the best at that,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
He's off Chael Sonnen, man. These guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they
Chael Sonnen, another guy. He cut great promos, him and Stephen Bonner. And speaking Rashad, Glenn.
Yeah, no, prior to Chael fighting Anderson Silva fought a bunch of overmatched guys, and none of them talked any trash, and all those pay-per-views didn't do very well because everybody knew that Anderson was just going to stop these guys, and there was no trash talking to help sell pay-per-views. Chael, a lot of people thought he was going to get stomped by Anderson Silva, but he talked, and everybody watched it because he talked. And it turned out to be a great fight. Now, imagine this next fight with him talking, and now people actually thinking he's got a chance. It's going to sell like crazy.
Oh, yeah. See, by now that it's been moved to Las Vegas instead of taking place in Brazil, and now that fight will be part of the Dominic Cruz and Uriah Faber. So that's going to be the co-main event, and then followed by the title match. Both are title fights. I mean, that's going to be a sick card, man.
Yeah, there's a bunch of strong undercard fights as well, you know, as far as like the third, fourth, and fifth fights on the card. So, yeah, that's going to be a massive, massive pay-per-view. It's going to easily top 1 million pay-per-view buys, easily.
Oh, yeah, and then, you know, we got the whole heavyweight thing. It was announced this week, too, that Frank Mir will now be fighting Junior Dos Santos for the heavyweight title after Overeem was denied the license to fight. And we'll expand on this a little further here in the program, because many people say that what Alistair Overeem was saying was ridiculous, was just not making any sense. And what was going on through Alistair Overeem's head, Guillermo?
Well, you know, he's just trying to make excuses and hopefully get himself off the hook. But, I mean, everybody knew that he wasn't going to be able to get off the hook, but he had to try, you know. But sometimes, you know, if they catch you in a lie, it could actually hurt you. Because Chael was denied a license for a while for lying about Keith Kaiser giving him permission about taking testosterone. So Overeem's got to be careful with his words and make sure that he doesn't go too far with that.
Yeah, and in fact, we're going to get next week a doctor is going to join us here in the program to explain to us a little bit about steroids in sports. You know, what does the testosterone level have to be for a male in sports? Some say they need it because their testosterone level is low, but what's the limit? What's exactly the right way to do this stuff? And the doctor here, Jose Sosa, will be joining us to explain a little bit about this stuff and how it plays a role in sports. But as I had mentioned prior to this, the UFC 148 card is just going to be stacked with Chael Sonnen, Anderson Silva for the title, and then Dominic Cruz and Uriah Faber for the title. Also, Rich Franklin versus Kung Lee, Forrest Griffin versus Tito Ortiz, Michael Bisping versus Tim Boych. I mean, this is just a sick card, man, aside from the whole heavyweight we're going to have in July. So it's a fun time
absolutely.
To be. Yeah, it's a fun time to be an MMA fan, to get all these great fights and watch it on pay-per-view. And then we got a whole free ones coming up soon, especially the one right here in June in South Florida taking you know, the UFC finally is coming back to South Florida, and it's going to happen in June, so we're looking forward to that. But Guillermo, before we extend more on some of the news that's taking place in the world of MMA, I'd like to welcome a local fighter down here from South Florida, Socrates Fierre, of Haitian descent. Socrates, thanks so much for joining us here in the program.
Hey, what's going on, man?
All right, Socrates, you have a fight at the RFC 26 in Ocala, Florida. You're going to be stepping inside the cage against Aaron Steadman. Your record is 2-1 right now. First and foremost, though, Socrates, tell us about what got you involved in mixed martial arts. You know, I've seen a couple of Haitians now involved in MMA. Patrick Noble's one of them. There was also a Haitian fighter in the UFC at one time. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started and what got you inspired.
Well, first off, Haitians, we're real aggressive people. But I forgot started by actually my friend. He's also a Haitian. He introduced me to the DEM, Capital City Combat Club, a.k.a. C4. And I just got into it, fell in love, got my first amateur fight. And I thought about going pro, but I wasn't really sure about it. But you took that decision, went pro, and now 2-1, and I am ready.
That is just great, man. Yeah, you know, we just saw an action at CFA in Coral Gables, CFA number 6. James Bertel in action.
Yeah.
He is another Haitian, and he trains with Patrick Sonoble, another Haitian. These guys train out of Winter Haven, I believe it is, with Tiger's Gym. Heard of them?
Yeah, well, Tiger's Gym. Yeah, I heard about that. I actually follow those guys a lot. I watch a lot of their videos, man. I'm really just proud to represent Haiti because we're going through a lot right now. So,
right.
You know, it's always a good sign to you know, put Haiti on the map. So I'm really proud of those guys. I'm trying to, you know, make a name for myself and for Haiti.
Right. And with Berto, his father is actually was in the UFC, and he's also was an official and so forth. So it was Dezio Berto, actually. That's his name, Dezio Berto. He was part of the UFC back in the early days, of course, when it was pretty much boxing versus karate and et cetera and all that stuff. But tell us about this fight coming up this weekend at the RFC 26.
Yeah, this weekend, this Saturday, fighting Aaron Steadman. Same record, 2-1. I'm really excited about this fight. Try to improve my record and hopefully do more things at the RFC and, you know, go to bigger and better things. But I'm ready to go, stand up, trade. They say he's a boxer, so, you know, I usually fight guy wrestlers, so I'm really excited to fight another stand-up guy. Really excited about that.
Great. Now, from here on out, tell me about the competition that you've had. You also fought in the XFC, and you had a great fight there. Tell me about some of the guys that you've been fighting and how have you been improving over time.
Yeah, my last fight was in the XFC 15. I fought Phil Bam Bam DeRue. He was a real tough guy. I mean, right now, like you said, us Haitians, we love to throw kicks. I got some good kicks, but right now I'm really focused on my boxing, my hands, you know, little technique, head movement. That's my big thing right now, focused on my boxing. But my kick, my ground game, I think that's one of my most dominant thing to do. So, yeah, man, I'm just excited and ready.
Now, when you walk inside that cage, you wear the Haitian colors by any chance, representing your country?
Oh yeah, all the time, man. I come out to the song. It's called "Amazo" by Black Dada, and "Amazo." I'm a Haitian, like "Amazo." I'm a Haitian. My Black Dada. That's my theme song. I walk up to that every time. I wear my Haitian flag. I got this brand new Haitian fight short by the Soda World. So, yeah, I'm ready, man. Representing for Haiti.
Great, great. Guillaume, you have a question for Socrates?
No, like you said, your country is going through a lot of tough times. Was your family affected by the earthquake? Have you been back there since then?
Well, my mom went back there, but our family lived in a different area, so we wasn't affected too much, but like, really, Haiti was one big old family. So, yeah, man, even though my family didn't get affected, you know, you still feel it down here in the States, man. But we're praying for Haiti, try to put them on the map.
And now, were you born in Port-au-Prince, or what part of Haiti were you born?
I was born in Okap. That's the part that was not affected. Okap is the Port-au-Prince is actually the capital. I was born in Okap.
Gotcha. And from there on, do you have any other family members that are involved in martial arts that inspired you, or?
Nah, my brothers, they don't want to get into it. They say it's too violent. They're not the real aggressive ones. Growing up, I was the only aggressive person getting to fight for high school, getting jumped, and I guess took my anger out on MMA now. Yeah, but I'm the only one here.
Yeah, definitely the Haitians are strong. You know, they were the ones who claimed independence first over there in that area of Latin America, the first country out there. So strong people over there, the Haitians. Well, Socrates, thanks so much. Now, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, so people can follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at SOK_Pi, that's Sock Pi. I'm also on Facebook, Socrates, my nickname, Kid Chaos Pierre. Socrates, Kid Chaos Pierre, you can follow me on that. I'm also on Instagram, Sock Pie. You can follow my pictures, go through my fights behind the stage and all that good thing, man.
All right, awesome, man. I love the interaction, Socrates. It's all about that social media thing, huh?
Yeah, that's what it's about, man. That's all it's about. Get your name out there. I'm trying to get my name out there.
Yes, sir. Well, Socrates, thank you so very much. Good luck to you this weekend over there at RFC 26 in Ocala, Florida, as he's going to step inside the cage against Aaron Said. Man, thanks so very much, Socrates, and we'll have you here at the show soon.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you for having me, man.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Yeah, you
thank
too.
You. All right, Guillermo. Great stuff there from Socrates. You know, it's probably a lot of Haitians making their wave in mixed martial arts.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the amazing thing about this sport. It doesn't matter what country you're from. There seems to be representatives popping out from every country because, like Dana White's always said, unlike most sports which have complicated rules and only, you know, some countries wouldn't like it, fighting is international language. Everybody can understand fighting. There's not a lot of rules to understand. Everybody understands what, you know, that a low blow is illegal. That's everybody gets it. So it's not complicated. So it's very easy for it to expand because it's such a simple sport to understand because people grow up with fighting and it's been around for centuries, for thousands of years.
Yep. Everybody loves a kick and a punch. All right, let's get a quick commercial and we'll be right back with more of The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks, girl.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com. And notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries.
OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of the Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
What's up, this your boy Kimo Slice, and if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that man, you'll be alright, you'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This your boy Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.
On the Roman Show. Follow the action on Twitter at RomanDH. Tonight, hashtag Roman Show. You want to join in the interaction? Call in at 714-868-0222 as we're celebrating your last show here, Guillermo, on the program. I really hope we could get that whole time scheduled and we'll keep you on the show.
Yeah, well, with the show being, well, with me being Hawaii next week, I think it'll be like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon when the show starts, so I'm sure we can do it then. But once I get in Australia, I believe it'll be 2 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow when the show starts. So, yeah, it'll be a bit more difficult.
Let's see how we can get set up there. Now, last week, Guillermo, we had Bellator middleweight champion Hector Lombard on the program. This is when the news broke out that he had been given an opportunity by the UFC, and Bellator had some time to match the offer. And surely enough, Bellator did not decide to put up the cash. And Hector Lombard is now in the UFC. Congratulations to Hector Lombard. And I'll never forget the time, like I mentioned to him, time that he told me, one day I'll be there, and surely enough, he is there. And I think that it's an opportunity not only for him, but also for fans to give a challenge to Anderson Silva, Guillermo.
Yeah, absolutely. Anderson Silva, you know, he's always cleaning out the division, and, you know, you always got to be trying to find him some new challenges, and Hector Lombard would definitely be a very good challenge for him. Although I do feel that Lombard is one or two wins away from a title shot. I don't think he deserves to get an immediate shot.
Yeah, and I don't think he is. I think he might have to face someone, like you had mentioned, maybe one or two people in order for them to possibly get a title shot. So it might be some time. And there have been some names out there that have been thrown out for a possible fight against Hector Lombard. Who would you like to see him up against, Guillermo?
Well, it's not just who do I want to see him up against. It's who doesn't already have a fight. You know, that's really the question. Bisping's already got a fight. Munoz has already got a fight. You know, these are the top guys.
Tim Boetsch has already got a fight. You know, Chael Sonnen's obviously in a fight right now. So all the top guys are taken except for one guy who just fought, Brian Stan. So that's the only guy that I could see fighting him anytime soon. Otherwise, Hector can wait for one of these fights to resolve itself and then fight the winner of that. For example, he could fight the winner of Vitor Belfort, Vanderlei Silva, for example. You know, that would be a good fight for him. But right now, Brian Stan, coming off a victory, a couple weeks ago, he's the only guy who's free right now who doesn't have a fight already and who's not injured. So maybe we could see him up against Brian Stan.
Yeah, I think that's the only notable name right now that will be a good test drive for Hector Lombard in the UFC. And again,
that'd be a fun fight. That'd be a real fun fight when you think about it. I mean, they're going to stand and bang.
Oh, yeah.
And who's going to win that? Because they both got big-time power.
Yeah, and Lombard can stand and bang. So that's awesome. I can't wait to see if possibly that fight happens. Hey, next week, Guillermo, we're going to have, as I mentioned, a doctor here to talk about steroids, but we're also working on getting just victorious, fresh off his victory this weekend, Eddie Yagan on the program. He's going to talk to us a little bit about his victory and tell us about how he got started in the MMA. Eddie Yagan,
that's pretty funny, though, because he's from Hawaii, and I'll be in Hawaii for that show. That'll be quite a coincidence.
Hey, well,
I'm really enjoying your beaches right now.
Right? That'd be pretty cool, man. Also coming up with the program, Jessica Aguilar will be the following week as she gets ready to fight Megumi Fuji. Both these ladies are top-notch female fighters in the world of mixed martial arts. So she'll be calling in, telling us how she's getting prepared for the big fight. And Jessica, a good friend of the program here, and we're going to talk to her a week from next Wednesday. Here on the Roman Show, Jessica Aguilar. Fun girl to talk to, and well wishes to Megumi Fuji. The match, the fight that she's always wanted, Guillermo.
Yeah, it's gotta be a real tough matchup. If it stays standing, Jessica's got a real good chance of winning that one. But if it goes to the ground, I think Megumi Fuji is just too much on the ground for any woman, in her weight class. I mean, she's just so slick with the submissions. Jessica, I know is very good at submissions herself, but I just don't think she's on that level. So if she can keep that fight standing, she's got a real good chance of winning it. So we'll see how it goes down.
Also on that program, we're going to have Kevin Esplund, who fights for Bellator, and he will be in action, and he'll be talking to us about competing in Bellator that same Wednesday here on the Roman Show. So we got a little nice lineup for you guys. Some great guys coming up in the program, and we are excited for it as we get ready for all the action here on the Roman Show. Now, another subject that we want to talk about, Guillermo, is obviously the Rashad Evans, and as we await for the phone call of Aaron Ard, who is going to let us know who won the Roman Show tournament on countermove.com. But let's talk about Rashad Evans and John Jones. I was a bit disappointed. You and I were watching this fight, but I was a bit disappointed in this this very hyped up fight.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you really think about it, not really much happened at all. I just felt like Rashad just didn't go for it. You know, he just was happy to go five rounds with John Jones and lose a decision. Like, he knew he was down in the card, and he just didn't go for it. He just, instead of going out there and saying, look, I'm just going to chase Jones and throw bombs, and if I got knocked out, so be it, I was going to lose the decision anyway. You know, he just decided, well, I'd rather not go for it, not get hurt, and lose the decision. I mean, you know, I wish I could have seen more from Rashad, but some people, I guess, are saying, well, it's better to not get hurt and fight another day, but you don't get too many title opportunities in your lifetime. You know, most guys don't get any. So when you get one, you got to go for it because what do you have to lose anyway? So, I was a bit disappointed in Rashad, but, he played it safe. That's why he lasted five rounds. Had he gone for it, I feel that Jones probably would have finished him. But, yeah, it wasn't a very exciting fight.
It isn't. And now the news is that possibly we will be seeing John Jones versus Dan Henderson. Other than that, who else is left for John Jones?
Well, just Alexander Gustafsson, unless they're going to start giving him rematches, like, you know, but I don't think any of the guys he's beaten deserve a rematch. Machida gave him a hell of a challenge, but Machida's going to have to get 2-3 wins in a row before they even consider that. So, really, there's just Dan Henderson and Alexander Gustafsson. And then, you know, Phil Davis can get 2 or 3 wins in a row, then Phil Davis. But there's nothing that I saw with Phil Davis and Rashad Evans that would make me think that Phil Davis would have a shot against John Jones.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. And many people have been saying that we might see or would like to see that transition of John Jones moving to fight Anderson Silva or possibly John Jones moving up to heavyweight.
Yeah, I mean, Jones has talked about that eventually he will be at heavyweight once he grows into his body and he can't cut the weight anymore. But like Dana White said in an interview this week, I mean, heavyweights are a whole nother animal. These guys are massive. Most of them are cutting weight to get to 265. Jones is walking around at 230. I mean, he's going to have a big disadvantage. He's the tallest, longest guy in the light heavyweight division, but in the heavyweight division, there's 6'11" guys. There's 6'8" guys. He's not going to have those physical advantages. He's going to have to rely purely on technique. And, you know, to be honest with you, he's very good technique-wise, but his technique is not perfect, and it has to be perfect to make up for those size disadvantages. I think he could be a very good heavyweight, but I don't think he's ready yet to be a elite heavyweight.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's going to take some time for John Jones to get a little familiarized with that. But a little Junior Dos Santos and John Jones sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, if it stayed standing, I'd have to think that Junior Dos Santos would knock out John Jones eventually, you know, if it stayed standing. Now, if it goes to the ground, who knows? We haven't seen Dos Santos on the ground ever on his back. We haven't seen Jones, for that matter, on his back either. So who knows how that fight would turn out on the ground. But if it stayed standing, from what I've seen, Junior Dos Santos knocks people the heck out on their feet. John Jones hasn't been knocking out anybody on his
nope.
feet.
Nope.
He might batter you a bit with some elbows and punches, but ultimately he finishes people on the ground usually. You know, so, you know, if that fight stays standing, I don't see how Jones could win that.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Dos Santos definitely has the advantage there. And now he's going to get ready for Frank Mir, and I just hope Frank Mir doesn't stand up with Dos Santos and goes to the ground, but I'm sure JDS has some plans out there for him to avoid going to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. JDS should win that fight. He should. But Frank Mir, if he goes to the ground, all bets are off, because Frank Mir is, I believe, the better jiu-jitsu guy, just based on the fact that he submitted JDS's Brazilian jiu-jitsu teacher. So, so you would think on the ground that Mir would have a definitive advantage, especially if he was on top. If he's on the bottom, he's very dangerous as well. But will JDS be able to knock him out with ground and pound? We don't know. We've never seen JDS really ground and pound anybody. He just knocks everybody out while he's standing. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, JDS should easily win that fight. But with heavyweights, you just never know. One big punch, they all got the power to knock each other out.
One thing that I was just shocked with Rashad Evans, and just like you stated, he didn't go for the goal. He connected a couple of times, but it just wasn't enough.
Didn't even try to press Jones up against the cage for the majority of the fight. He didn't buy any of that. He just was content to stay within Jones's range, where Jones could dominate with his reach. And Rashad said it after the fight. I just had the wrong game plan. But, I mean, like, you should know better, man. You've seen guys get beat by Jones, and you saw that Machida succeeded in some things. Why didn't you just follow what Machida was doing? Maybe you can't replicate what Machida does because of his karate style. But you got to know that wrestling has to somehow be involved in that. I mean, look at that last 10 seconds of that fight when John Jones pulled guard on Rashad. Rashad went crazy with the ground and pound. Imagine if you would have been able to do that whole fight. Who knows, maybe he could have knocked out John Jones with ground and pound. But unfortunately, we didn't get to see that. It's unfortunate. Some guys are just content to lose a decision so that they don't get hurt. You don't see it that often, even though you think you should, that when a guy knows he's down on the scorecards, he should just go for broke. But you usually don't see that. The last time I remember seeing somebody do that was Tim Boach when he knocked out Yushin Okami. I mean, that was the damnedest thing I ever saw. Tim Boach just said, look, I'm down 2 rounds to none. I got to knock him out or I'm going to lose. And he went for it. I wish I could see that more often.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go all in. It's just like poker. You know, if you're losing, you got to bet your hand. You got to take the chance. It's all or nothing.
Yep. I mean, so what? Yeah, you go for it and you get knocked out. Well, you're going to lose a decision anyway. You know, at least since you went for it, maybe you'll get lucky and get the win. But if you just sit back and hope that the guy makes a mistake so you can counter him, I mean, that guy's going to be playing it safe. He knows he's ahead. He's not going to leave himself open.
Yep. Well, we're waiting on the phone call here of Aaron Hard of countermove.com. In fact, this might be him. Caller, you're on the air, or is this Aaron?
This is Aaron.
Oh, hey, Aaron, how are you? Well,
how are you?
All right, good, and yourself?
Good.
Awesome. Tell us about the Roman Show tournament. What happened? Who won?
It was a person, under the name of Mysterious D, and they won the first prize, which is $60, and the person's name was David Tice.
Nice.
And I will, off the air, I'll give you his email address.
Nice. Well, congratulations there for Mysterious D and the other gentleman.
The second place person was it Manocopter, I think is the person's name.
Oh,
he won second place. That was $30.
Nice. Well, congratulations to all those guys for participating in the Roman Show tournament over there at countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K. And Aaron, what do we got lined up? When is the next tournament?
Well, we're actually doing the Invictus tournament,
uh-huh.
The all-female fight card that's happening this weekend. So we have a few tournaments up there. We also have UFC and Fox 3. Those tournaments are now live, too. So you can play either one. And I believe the UFC and Fox is a week from Saturday.
Yes, it is, Memphis. It is. Which is funny because Mayweather also fights on that same Saturday. Cinco de Mayo. So... But
oh, right?
The tournament, yeah, so May 5th,
mm.
Mayweather fights that night, yeah, same night. Well, there you go. Countermove.com, and we got to set up another Roman Show tournament. You let me know when we're ready to go, Aaron.
Absolutely, I will. I will let you know.
And then, again, guys, the website is countermove.com with a big K there. And, Aaron, please, quickly, let these people know how it works.
Yes, come to our site. It's countermove with a K.com. We have free games and money games. Challenge your friends. It's a really simple game. It doesn't take much in terms of the game. It doesn't take much to learn. But if you know something about MMA, it's a great way to make a little money and get bragging rights from your friends.
There you go, Aaron. Thank you so very much for calling in. And that's countermove.com with a K. Thank you so very much, Aaron. We'll be in contact.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Bye.
Thanks so much. All right, Guillermo. And, Aaron mentioned that we'll event coming up, Invictus, featuring, it's an all-women card. First time ever they've done this before. And Hoonan is going to be a part of that card. Something new that is being presented. That's Marlos Hoonan versus Rumi Ruison. That's going to be taking place this weekend, first ever in North America, an all-female card. Your thoughts on this, man?
That's really great. You know, the females, they need this exposure to help grow their sport because, you know, there's just not enough of them in it yet to develop full weight divisions that present challenges to the top fighters. So hopefully this is the beginning of something big where we can see the sport of women's MMA evolve and hopefully get some of these other ladies who are in other sports to maybe consider moving into a career in MMA.
Well, you know, one thing that I wanted to point out, Guillermo, Jose Canseco has been tweeting like crazy, and I'm talking about possibly getting in an MMA fight. What are your thoughts with some of these guys in the entertainment world stepping inside the cage?
You know, Canseco's already fought like once or twice. You know, so
yeah, he's saying he could do it again.
Yeah, he lost to Hong Man Choi a few years ago. For those of you who don't know, Hong Man Choi is about 7 feet tall.
about a full foot taller than Canseco, and Canseco, I believe, got paid $100,000 for that fight, and all he basically did was circle. The minute Hong Manchoy swung at him, he dropped to the ground in the fetal position until the referee stopped it, so it's kind of a joke. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he needs the money, and that's why he's willing to do it again.
Well, I remember not so long ago, I think it was last year, he tried to pull out a Houdini where he sent his brother instead of the actual Jose Canseco stepping in for a fight. Did you hear that one?
No, I did not hear that one.
Yeah. He weighed in, but people actually realized when he stepped inside the ring or the cage, I can't remember right now, it was actually his brother. It wasn't Jose Canseco. They look alike, so that happened over there. I know Shaq wants to fight him. I don't know if they'll get that fight done, but I'm sure we'll get some buys on pay-per-view. I mean, it's a pretty funny fight, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, nobody should really take it seriously, though, because unless he's fighting a man of little no experience or talent, he's probably just going to do what he did against Hong Manchoy and just, like, curl up in a fetal position until the referee stops it and make $100,000 or $10,000 or whatever it is he's getting paid. So it's not like you're really going to get any entertainment out of it. He'll probably not take much of a beating at all because he'll give up. So I wouldn't be too interested in watching him fight.
Yeah, well, you can check out his Twitter account there, at Jose Canseco, and trust me, it's really funny. He's talking about how he's going to do some stuff for TNA Wrestling. He was talking about that. He was actually in one of the shows. Make sure you follow him, because he's a funny guy. He just talks about these weird things. Check it out. All right, guys, that pretty much does it for us. Guillermo, man, a pleasure to have you here, and we'll work something out where we can have you in the program. We're going to miss you. And, again, hopefully we'll get the resolved out there. Well wishes on your new life over there in Australia. And final thought.
Man, like I said, it's been a pleasure to do this show. I've loved the sport of MMA since UFC 1 when I started watching it. And I never would have thought that I'd go from being, you know, just a fan of the sport, watching it on TV, to actually being a part of making this sport great and delivering it to bigger and greater audiences and making it grow even further. So it's been a pleasure. Hopefully I get to continue to do this show, and hopefully we can even get this show on a much larger, you know, audience, you know, much larger network or something, so that we can go ahead and not only cover sports here in the local market or in the U.S., but across the world. So hopefully we'll be able to expand this thing even further.
Yes, sir, that is the goal. All right, Guillermo, well, good night, man, and have a safe flight, bro.
Thank you, man.
Let's do it.
In a fighter zombie, on a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, "Do you come from a land down under?"